Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want.
Been pent up inside for years, exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letter spills slowly across the page like a world premiere. We're lying, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe, though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in the snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circus. That's why you're nervous, and you gotta write. To be. Cause if somebody would have done that shit to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be, my sentiments exactly would be history. You know what I'm saying? Hey, my people's in a place, let's
y'all
know I'm
one, two,
tell
me what y'all
to
do. Three, four, it's time for all of your together. Rock and rolls in your rolling rock. Take your mind to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and roll in your rolling rock.
Nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place, and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies, hard to swallow from the bitter taste. But that's the point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and shot or relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I tap. Count on 2,
tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all your
together.
Rock and roll in your rolling rock. Then your rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and roll in your rolling rock.
Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on acid tablets. Yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, a thought so, but now I feel like shots hitting my torso. Spent a lot of time and trust in the wrong place, fought a lot of fights, rolling with the wrong ace. Love stronger than pride, weaker than disgrace. I need room to think and space. But solid as a rock shall not disintegrate. Thoughts racing like they lunatics on the interstate. Real, yeah, ill, yeah. My people's in the place, tell me how to start.
1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all
yours.
Rock and roll to your rolling rock. Then your rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, it's time to motivate. Rock and roll to your rolling rock.
Conversation. There are videos out there with how policing against black and brown people take place. And our conversation tonight is in part by what we've seen. So whether you're tuning in online or by phone, for tonight's conversation, we're talking No Justice, No Peace in the murder of George Floyd. And I'm sure you all know who he is by now. And as his brother said, this afternoon when he spoke to CNN. He said, you can't have one without the other. Speaking of no justice, no peace. Right now, the pulse in America is on high due to the events surrounding the murder of George Floyd and the millions of other black men and women who have died at the hands of police. So this is nothing new in America, Cup. I just think that this is something that was the breaking point, the boiling point regarding racism in this country. Because after viewing the video of the officer with his knee pinned to George Floyd's neck and hearing George Floyd plead for his life and say over and over and over again, I can't breathe. My stomach hurt. I can't breathe. My back hurt. Well, of course, his stomach was going to hurt because the officer's other knee was pinned into his back. I can't breathe, he said. I can't breathe. And at one point, he called upon his mother, who had died a year earlier on the same day. So when you look at that video and you see it with your own eyes, how George Floyd's life just slipped away. He was being murdered before our very eyes. That was horrible. It was not only horrible, it was evil. It was not only evil, it was disturbing. And it is not only disturbing, but it is horrific. It was, and it is, a horrific thing to watch. That's exactly what it was. So anyone with a pulse, anyone with a conscience who could view that video and not be bothered, of course, they would be outraged in this country. And already I have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. What would you like to add?
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm from Minneapolis. I grew up right there on Lake Street where a lot of the protests have been happening. And I think what people have to acknowledge is there's two different thoughts, right? Everyone, I think, in the country was genuinely upset and, angered about what happened to George Floyd and wanted justice done. And everyone was agreeing with the protests. But what we see going on now with the looting and the rioting is completely uncalled for. And I don't know if people have been really watching what's actually happening. I don't know. I've seen the news media. In my opinion, they haven't really been showing what's going on in the streets. You've got to go more to Twitter and YouTube to see it. But what's being done in the streets is unbelievable. I'm talking about elderly women being beat down and robbed in broad daylight. I'm talking about women and children living in terror because they can't leave their house out of fear. I'm talking about people roaming the streets, lighting people's cars on fire, throwing rocks at people's houses, burning people's houses, burning people's businesses. My aunt's restaurant got burned to the ground. I'm talking about whole areas just demolished where we're living in like a war zone situation. And these people are running around acting like they're doing this for George Floyd. They're not doing that for George Floyd. It's not because of George Floyd that you go into a store and rob everything. It's not because of George Floyd that you light somebody's car on fire. It's not because of George Floyd that you would rob an elderly woman in broad daylight. That has nothing to do with George Floyd. And it's a disgrace to him, his family, and what the peaceful protesters are actually protesting about, which is wanting to cause change, stop police brutality, and bring awareness to a serious issue. And it's a tragedy that these people are turning it into something that it shouldn't be, and they're taking the whole attention off of what the whole protest was about in the first place. And there are people out there defending these people's actions. They're celebrities raising money to pay for these people's bail. I'm like, what in the world is wrong with these people?
Oh, my God. I think that because you're actually on the ground in Minneapolis, you live there, you have an insight, a direct insight as to what's happening, which means that what you're sharing now is something that that's not necessarily being shared on the news. Yes, we're hearing about looting in New York, in New York State, what's going on there. We heard about looting in Minneapolis, but not to the point where when you have elderly women being robbed in broad daylight. Who is behind this type of behavior? Who's behind it? It can't be the citizens or the people right there in Minneapolis. So who's behind it? Who do you think is behind it?
Oh, I can see who's behind it. It's like I see three different groups operating primarily when I want to go about. One is this group people may know as like Antifa or whatever. It's like these.
We heard of them.
They're like this far left radical group that's about, you know, they're like pro communist and they want anarchy and chaos. So they're in there. They're a lot of the ones who are starting the fires and doing a bunch of crazy stuff. Then you got a group of young people, you know, I would say teenage, early 20s, that are basically out here, you know, doing a lot of the looting, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of them are black, to be honest. I mean, I don't know why people are trying to make it seem like it's not black people doing it, but it is. And they're doing it primarily to me, not because of George Floyd or police brutality. I don't even care about that. They're just doing it because they're getting free stuff. Like,
exactly.
I remember seeing what they did in Target.
And they're taking advantage, right, and they're taking advantage of an unfortunate situation. And that is definitely not accepted. That is definitely not acceptable. It really isn't. And do they have troops on the ground in Minneapolis?
Yeah, the National Guard came in about 2 days ago, and ever since they came in, things are starting to calm down, and things are starting to get better, and people have been able to go out and start cleaning up and try to get things right. But the mayor and the governor, in my opinion, were like, the mayor was an embarrassment. The mayor let them do what they did. He actually told the police to leave the third precinct and let the rioters burn that police station down. And his words were he thought it would be a healing moment to let them vent their rage, to which everyone in the city is like, are you out of your mind? What's wrong with you? Like, what kind
mayor?
Of leadership is that? Yeah, the mayor of Minneapolis. This guy was, yeah, and that's why I actually agreed when Trump called him out on Twitter and was like, you know, he called them, I think, a weak radical left mayor, and if you don't get your act together, we're going to send the military in. The whole city was like, you're right, because he let them do that. He literally told the police to leave. He told the cops to stand down, to leave the police station and let them burn it down. And so it's because of him that stuff got so out of control, because essentially these people were given about 3 days to do whatever they want without no police, no National Guard, no one to stop them. And that's what let this whole thing build. And people and all these young people saw, oh my God, there's no one here to stop us. We can do whatever we want. And once that ball started rolling down the hill, it just and now it's spread all over the country. Now it's everywhere. It's in L.A., it's in New York, it's in Chicago. I mean, it's everywhere because one mayor decided to let something fester, and it just, you know.
And to be honest with you, we haven't heard from that mayor since. We have not heard from the mayor since he called for the firing of the police officers. He has really not been on the air. But my question to you is, how many police precincts were burnt?
I know the third precinct was, that's the one closest, that's one the actual police officers were from. They tried to do it to the fifth precinct. I know that they were able to, like, you know, spray a bunch of graffiti, throw rocks at it. I don't think they burned it, though. So from what I can tell now, it's only that first one, the third precinct, that got burned.
People were angry. People were mad. Protesters, you do have peaceful protesters out there. Right now, we were seeing on CNN what's happening now in Minneapolis. It seemed like a lot of people have converged on the area where George Floyd lost his life. Is that the attention now? Has the attention been turned back to that?
Well, not for the people living here, no. We're still dealing with the damages and the effects of the rioters and looters. I mean, I've never seen my city look the way it did. And, like, we were
on lockdown.
To where no one could drive in. All the highways coming into the city were closed. You could only drive out. And so, you know, we're talking about everything. We were basically shut down. You couldn't go to work, couldn't go to work, couldn't do anything. And so that's what everyone's dealing with, just trying to fix things again. And it's sad because a lot of the businesses that were looted and destroyed, by the way, were black-owned businesses. I mean, that area is a lot of black, brown, immigrant communities. And, you know, my family was played a big role in the 90s and early 2000s with getting all the grants and helping the whole business development in that area in the first place, and the grants to help, you know, black and brown people be able to start those businesses. And now to now see those same people who I know many of them personally, who've worked 10, 15, 20 years to build up that area and have their businesses and everything, see all that destroyed. It's a shame, you know. It's really heartbreaking, you know. There have been a couple of interviews with some of the business owners, and it's heartbreaking to see their reaction. And I think what's going on now is this whole thing's become political. And
let me ask you a question. Do you think that there is a possibility that those businesses and these areas in your town can be rebuilt?
I don't know. I don't think it will. You know, when L.A. had their riots back in the 90s, those areas that got destroyed, the businesses never came back. And those areas are still feeling the effects of that. You know, same thing happened to Detroit when they had their big riots in the 60s. Because what that does is it puts fear in people, because it makes people say, is it worth for me to invest in a business in this area when if something happens again, let's say a year from now, is my business going to get destroyed? And so what I'm worried now is that I think what's going to end up happening, and a lot of people feel this, is that businesses in mass are going to leave the Twin Cities. And they're going to move out, and they're going to go to the suburbs or go to different states and cities out of fear that if something else happens again, this could happen again. And so the effects of this is more than just the property damage. It's going to be the economic impact that's going to be long-reaching, and it could affect people for decades.
True. Very true. But do you actually think that it can happen again? Do you think that there will be a pivotal change based upon this incident?
Change as in?
The laws, policing, the way cities are policed, the laws especially.
Well, that's the thing where you gotta look at certain things. So when it comes to them with police, you have the rules of engagement, right? And for those who don't know what that is, when you resist arrest from a police officer and you're not compliant, the law states that police are able to use, and I think the terminology is, a reasonable force to detain you. Now, the problem with that term reasonable force is it's totally subjective. So it's not like a clear-cut thing that says you can do this and you can't do that. Now, in the police academy, cops are trained to do certain things. What that police officer did, police are not trained to do that. They're specifically told not to do anything from the shoulder up, precisely because of what he did. So it's hard to say legally to change anything. I mean, the main thing is that him and the other officers are being charged. That's obviously the most important thing. And I think that in itself is probably the most important thing, is that if we can establish a precedent to where police officers, if they kill people, will be tried in court and will not be given some type of legal loophole to get out. I think if we make a statement by having this guy charged with first, second-degree murder and the other officers charged it with aiding and abetting, that could instill some fear in police to say, okay, if we do these things, we're not going to get off with it. But there's going to be – there's established precedent legally to have us in punish.
But, Cooler, okay, I mean, we did not see George Floyd resisting arrest. Even when you look at the video, at one point, he's sitting in a police cruiser, and it looks as if Officer Chauvin, or whatever his name is punching him in the face. We did not see Floyd resisting arrest. And then the next thing we see is him on the ground with a knee to his neck. I do not see that being lawful. I understand that police have laws. I think that George Floyd was assaulted and ultimately murdered. And even if he was resisting police, did that merit him to be killed?
Well, let me make it clear. When it comes to him resisting, there was a point when he struggled getting in the car. Now, if you go look at the 9-minute video of him on the ground, that's being recorded by the young lady with the cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that video? The full video?
The video was hard to watch. I saw most of it. I'll say that.
Okay. The reason I brought it up is in the beginning of the video, an elderly gentleman walks up and he's talking to George Floyd and he's telling him to get in the car. And he was telling him in the beginning, if you hear him, he says to him, you know, I told you, you should have got in there. This is not worth it. You can't win this. Same thing happened to my friend. And you could tell the context of what he's saying to him was that as a bystander there, he saw the fact that, and George initially resisted getting in the car. That's where the struggle began. That's why you saw him getting assaulted in the back seat. And so anytime you deal with police, and I say this as a black man, and I say this to you and any person who's black, I always ask this question for you, ma'am. Have you ever been assaulted by a police officer in your life?
No. No, never.
Now,
and the way they manhandle
the
people, I think it's just,
yeah.
I think that's ridiculous. But go ahead.
No, but the reason I ask you that question is there's a reason you haven't been assaulted by a police officer. And the reason is that you're not dumb. Why do I say that? Anytime you deal with police, this is for anyone listening that's black, this is something you need to know. I'm sure some of your parents may have already told you this. There's certain ways you conduct yourself. Because you have to understand, when you resist them or you try to fight them and all that, you're giving them the opportunity to do something to you. You get what I'm saying? That's why I told you about that law, the rule of engagement. Once you resist arrest, they're legally allowed to then physically restrain you. Now,
okay,
depending on the type of person you're dealing with, it could escalate. So any person who's smart knows, don't put yourself in that position.
But when we see him in the back seat of the car, it makes you wonder, how did he get on the ground?
He didn't get on the ground because the struggle was him getting in the car in the first place, and then when he finally came out. So the guy who was there, the way he broke it down was that initially when they tried to put him in the car the first time, he was trying to push back to get in the car, and then that's when they were shoving back and forth to try to force him in there. And then they were trying to, like, restrain him in the car, and he came back. He, like, pushed him forward, and they came out, and that's when they pulled him out, and that's when he got took down to the ground. Because if you look, he's laying right next to the police car, technically right by the back door. So that's where it came from. So this plays in. The same thing is true with Eric Garner. The same is true with a lot of these police brutality cases. If you look at them, about 95% of them involve somebody initially resisting arrest in some way, shape, or form. That's just common sense. That's why I say most black people you meet have never been assaulted by a cop, because most people know never to let the situation escalate to that point. You know, it takes a certain measure of common sense, because you already know if you start resisting cops and try to fight them, you're not going to win that battle because they got the law on their side.
Well, but not only
that seems to be
their favorite line. You know, he resisted, we fear for our lives, and so on and so forth. I saw the part wherein they were trying to get him in the car on the side of the sidewalk by the store. Where I saw him on the ground lying face down was on the other side of the vehicle, which is why that's a bit confusing for me, because I can't see how it took place. And because the video is so disturbing, it really is hard to watch. For me, it is.
Hard to watch. So what I'm talking about is we're not talking about what happened to George Floyd in particular here. I'm not trying to justify the police's actions, whether it was evil and criminal. In my opinion, the cop should be executed. If I had my way, he'd be put on an electric chair or hanged. But when it comes to, I'm talking about in general, as a black person, when you deal with police, as a general rule, that's what I'm talking about here. Whenever you deal with cops, if you don't resist arrest, the chances of you getting assaulted, shot, beat in any way, shape, or form drastically goes down. But when you give them a hard time and you start cussing them out, you try resisting arrest, you try swinging at a cop, then you all of a sudden, now you open the door for them to do something to you.
I don't necessarily agree with you, because there have been times wherein black men have followed the rules and they still were killed. I mean, look at Philando DeCastro, if I'm saying his name correctly. He was sitting in his car. The officer asked him for his registration, and he said, I'm going to reach in my glove compartment to get it because I am licensed to carry. And right away, the officer flipped out and shot him and killed him. Like right there on the
spot.
Yeah,
but that's the exception, not the rule. If you look at the majority of the police brutality cases, the majority of them are involving resisting arrest. And not only that, I can show you multiple examples that I've seen personally, not only on video, but I've seen personally in my own life, because I've dealt with the police a lot. And, growing up, I was involved in a lot of criminal activity. So I'm used to dealing in certain violent crime situations where I know people that were, like, physically were trying to hit a cop, beat him up, do whatever, and nothing happened to them. They weren't assaulted. They weren't beat up. And so depending on the person you're dealing with, will depend on what happens. My point is, you can avoid that by not putting yourself in a position, because you never know what type of cop you may be dealing with. Some of the cops are professional, they're respectful, they do their job, they're looking, they have good intentions. Some of them are not. And so a smart person with common sense says, don't put yourself in a position of danger. If you can avoid it, avoid it. That's what I'm saying. And so,
okay, so
I think
I'm running out of time. Okay, Corla, but I'm running out of time. I understand what you're saying, but I want to ask you one question, one poignant question. The bystanders, do you feel as though they should have intervened? And if so, what do you think would have happened?
In just in George Floyd's case, I don't know. I mean, they should have, but I don't know. They might have got tased or maced or something, maybe beat up. Or obviously, they're going to get arrested, but I agree they should have, you know.
Mm. Corla, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in tonight.
Yep.
Thank you so much. You know, listeners, it's a very, very hard conversation to have, but it's a conversation that no doubt is going to continue. We appreciated our caller calling in tonight. He had given us a lot of information that some of us did not know, because one of the things we do not condone, and that is looting. Looting and rioting is definitely something that no one should condone, because there is no place for it in situations like this. Until next week, I thank you for tuning in. This conversation shall continue. But there can be no change without a revelation.
Book of Revelation, uh-huh. Chapter 7, verses 16 and 17.
Yes, sir.
They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore.
Preach, preacher.
For God shall wipe away.
Yes, sir.
Every tear from their eyes.
Yes, sir.
Get ready for the revolution.
Come on.
What you say?
Come on.
Buzz me, but they can't break me, 'cause I'm down with Christ. Dog child of new nation, and we still alright.